There are other views about the Buddha's relationship to his society. There's one view that we find in books by Trevor Ling and more recently Stephen Batchelor, which see him as an urban figure. So not as someone who really belonged in the forest, a forest renunciant, but an urban or even urbane figure who spent all of his time in cities, who spent a lot of time with kings and aristocrats, and who tried to influence society by influencing, well, in a way, the people at the top, but then had to navigate very carefully through this world of power and politics. That's sort of what Stephen Batchelor gives us. Now, there's probably something in that, I think. He certainly did cultivate connections with kings, particularly a king called Pasenadi, who was king of another kingdom called Kosala, and patrons, rich patrons who could look after his community and give it a material base. And the most famous figure there is someone called Anuttapindika. And the kings respected the Buddha, but they didn't follow him. Pasenadi is full of praise for the Buddha, but he never really seems to ask the Buddha's advice on specifics. The only example we have where Pasenadi actually took the Buddha's advice was about dieting. Pasenadi had eaten an entire bucket full of curry and a bucket full of rice, and he was so bloated that he went to the Buddha one day, the next day, and complained to him. And the Buddha tells him to be mindful of his food. He gives him some verses telling him to be mindful when he's eating, and Pasenadi is delighted and tells his attendant to repeat these verses to him every time he comes to eat. And as a result, within a few months, the king grew slender and stroked his limbs with pleasure. So, Buddha successfully offering dietary advice to the king. But the king doesn't seem to have asked his direct advice about public policy or anything like that. And if he does, there's no record of it, or he didn't follow it. And I wonder sometimes, if we focus on the Buddha in this sort of way, if there's a danger that we project our own concerns back onto the Buddha. We imagine the Buddha was like me, with my issues, my concerns, my problems, my concerns about society, wearing robes 2,500 years ago. In fact, this is a big problem with writing about the Buddha at all, probably writing about any such figure, that you simply see in him a projection of what you want to see. You know, the Buddha you've imagined, you then dress in historical garb. The caution that I'd make, that came clearer and clearer to me in studying the Buddha and studying these scriptures, is the need to envisage a very different world and a very different culture with a very different worldview from our own. And if you do that, and you imagine yourself into the things that seem to be important to the people in these ancient texts, then the texts start to make sense. And then you can see how the Buddha is navigating through this world and how he's acting skillfully within it.